Welcome to Life Hurts, God Heals. I'm your host, Kurt Flagel. On this show, we're going to be talking about disappointments.
Wow.
We all experience them. But there is a big difference between experiencing disappointment and letting that
become our expectation
for life. How do we deal with disappointments without them becoming our default attitude? Join me and my good friend and special
and
guest.
And it's
Kinnard,
there we go. Again, what that tells you is you can check everything and still screw stuff up. I'm Fred McMurray. It's Thursday. It's still 2 p.m. Central Time, which means this must be
Pillars. 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 Of franchising. Pillars. 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 Of franchising.
Okay, so I had to do an extra long one.
Pacific time.
We already lost.
Central time.
Yeah, you're right.
Just
sorry.
So you don't confuse everybody.
It's the right time, folks. Do I need to play the song again? Arr. The more you test, the more things go cranky. So I'm Fred McMurray with our co-host Ray Pillar and Elizabeth Denham and our guest Lynn Leadley, and Ray will do the further bio in a minute. I want to find out before we go into the deeper bio, how everyone is or where everyone is and what's the weather like. Ray?
Okay, the weather here is, I don't know. I like it because of the temperature. It's in the 60s and it gets down in the high 50s at night, which is great. But right now it's cloudy and gloomy and we're supposed to have more rain. But, you know, it's Midwest weather. And we actually have weather here instead of fires. So as I can see from your background, you're still enjoying the inhalation of smoke.
Wait, before we go to me. And where are you besides the Midwest? That's all
I
you said.
I am in Aurora. Yeah.
Aurora.
That's
Colorado?
That's in the state of Illinois.
Ah, okay.
Not the one in Colorado, no. No, that's too hot for me. I'm here in the Midwest, about 40 miles west of Chicago.
And
so
Elizabeth.
Weather is good.
And Elizabeth.
I am in Spanish Fort, Alabama, outside of Mobile, and it is blue skies, white puffy clouds, no rain, probably in the upper 80s. Not a bad day.
And Lynn?
It's hot, but it's better than 98.
Yeah, it is.
Lynn, where are you?
I am coming to you from the Great Pacific Northwest, Bellevue, Washington, which is not too far from Seattle, Washington. We are a record-breaking 90-ish degrees today, which is very unusual for our area. We have very smoky skies and lots of area fires, which is also very unusual for us, especially this time of year.
And for myself in Shell Beach, California, I've been living in nuclear winter. Right now it's this weird, like living inside of an orange ping pong ball. But at least the ash rain is quit. And yeah, that was what, Monday afternoon, the way I got to celebrate Labor Day with an evacuation, or Sunday, it was evacuation order. Yeah, right. So, now that
smoke and fire does not count as weather, okay?
It was raining though. There was literally rain coming down, and yet it was ashy rain. And I think it was last night. It was actually kind of hard to breathe while driving. And you know, when I'm driving 101 and I start having, it's hard to breathe. You know what I started thinking of? Oh my God, am I going back? But enough of that.
Okay. Just wondering if you're thinking about that.
Oh yeah, my friend, all the time.
So you know, just to let you know, then Fred is from this area that I'm in right now. Well, around here anyway.
Got you.
I chide him all the time about this lack of weather out on the left coast.
So, Ray, why don't you introduce our guest, since I know you've been researching her, and then Elizabeth can take the first question or second question, whatever we're doing, and let's rock this show.
Well, Lynn Leedsley and her husband are the owners of the AdvantaCare, as you can see on the screen, AdvantaClean franchise. And Lynn and her husband have owned it for 2.5 years. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So I'm going to let Elizabeth take it from there. What would you like to ask? Where do you want to start?
Where do I want to start? I want to start at the beginning, I think, because this is a relatively new venture for the two of you. Is this something that you had always wanted to do? Where did you and your husband come from to get to buying a franchise? And this one in particular.
Great question. So the far back story is in our college, my husband and I have known each other since high school.
Mm-hmm.
And back in the college days, he began his journey of already looking into entrepreneurship and business ownership. That's just been something that has always been of interest to him. And so then fast forward, go through school, jobs start happening, career growth starts happening. And in this process, he was career climbing. He built his career in the home building industry.
Mm.
I built my career in early childhood education, had our kids. Throughout this time, he always had some sort of relationship with a business broker, always had his ear to the ground, was just kind of dancing on this idea of, geez, it'd be so great to own my own. So it was about 3 years ago, he came to me and he said, you know, I've been talking to this business broker. And we've, you know, we've had the conversation a few times. There were a few other businesses where he would do the research on them, and then they didn't tick all the boxes. So he was researching this AdvantaClean. It was an existing franchise, and the current owner had it up for sale. And so he just kept asking questions and kept asking questions, and it kept ticking the boxes. So we just kept, you know, going after it, doing the due diligence, asking lots of questions. And eventually he said, Lynn, this is the one. This is the one. This is the one I'm going to do. Are you in? And I said, I'm in. Let's jump. Let's do it. And so that's how we came about. The AdvantaClean itself, there were some real strong, quick reasons that I could give you why this brand. For one, we were very interested in the franchise concept because we did want the global support that a franchise offers. We wanted to have that network, and we wanted to have the resources that were offered. And then as far as going into remediation and AdvantaClean itself, some of the key factors which have played out beautifully is a recession-proof or as recession-proof business as you can find.
Mm-hmm.
We've been deemed essential for this last pandemic, which was incredibly helpful. And then, you know, his construction background, the finance side played in nicely to the company itself, along with other features of reoccurring business and, you know, all of those things that he's a CPA. So all of these things that, you know, a good financial guy is going to look for, he was able to find in this brand.
One of the questions I like to ask new franchise owners is, what was your biggest surprise when you took over the business, when you started the business?
Speaking honestly and candidly, so the business was established in 2011. We bought in 2018. The one piece that I was hoping was more established were the referral partners and some of those reoccurring contracts and reoccurring jobs. We learned very, very quickly within days of taking over the business that we were going to have to start at the beginning and really get those relationships going and really start finding good ways of working those relationships and getting to know the right people. So that was our...
Yeah, that's always so important, especially with a local business. What kinds of things did you do? I think we talked before we came on about the husband-wife team concept and relationship. And how do you divide those duties? Do you have complementary skill sets that are more alike or more different that work? And in terms of dividing that up and how you go out and network and get in the community and become a recognizable force so that you can develop those relationships, how do you manage that?
Absolutely. So the first part of that is, you know, as far as like us working as a team and where we're at in our stage of life, we're very close to being empty nesters and whatnot. And so it was a real fun journey to jump into together with that, you know, the high time that needed to be spent and, you know, the anxiety and all this crazy stuff of here we go, what are we doing and all that. It actually was, it was really fun for us to do that together. As far as figuring out who does what, that was part of the discovery process that was really interesting. My husband knew exactly, his roles are very strong in the leadership. He's the visionary of the company, and he's very good at setting the processes and, you know, the data finding and the financial reporting and systems and standard operating procedures, all of those things. He's very strong in those areas. And so as we were getting into this, I knew I wanted to support and I knew I wanted to be involved. But I came into this with almost 30 years of early childhood education. I can herd a group of children like no other. I can conference parents and let them know that yes, their beautiful four-year-old is absolutely doing exactly what they're supposed to do. I can do education, I can train new teachers, I can do all of these things, but I wasn't sure what I could do in remediation. What does that mean? So then when we discovered that we really needed to focus on the business development piece, I started then just talking to people and just, you know, my friends, my community, whoever, just saying, okay, I've got to figure this out. And they pretty much were just kind of slapping me up against the head and saying, are you kidding? You're a natural. This is what you do. You talk to people, you know, all that. And so I discovered that, hey, no, I like that. I do. What? My job is going to be to go, you know, join groups of people and get to know them and let them know what our company does and how we can help them. And so it was this natural growth process of understanding that the skill set that I had from teaching actually married over very nicely into the company business. And one of the things that we really like to focus on, because we are remediation and we're emergency services, we see people when they are in stress. something is happening in their house that should not be happening right now. And we as a company differentiate ourselves in that we're taking care of our clients first and their structure second. And I found after working with people's children for years and years and years, and now I'm working with somebody's home, that sensitivity is still, it's the same, not as much. Your child obviously is the most precious thing you own, right? The most precious thing you have. And so now I'm talking about somebody's home and helping them through that and that stressful situation. And I just found that that was a natural transition. And so I can help put clients at ease when, because we're first on the scene after a fire. We're first on the scene when your property is flooding. You've just found that you have mold and you're not sure if your child's allergic to it, you know? So there's a lot of pleasure and joy in knowing that we can go in and solve these problems for our clients.
And problem solving is very rewarding.
Absolutely.
Okay, wait, time out. Let me jump in here because we're going to take a commercial very soon.
All right.
So I want to get a question in here. So what grows faster, children's knowledge or mold? Because we've equated kids and mold here, so I'm given that you've been a professional educator and a professional mold inhibitor, which grows faster, the mold or the children's education?
The mold grows faster. The children are more cheeky.
Fair enough. So at that point, we'll head to a commercial if I can find it and not screw it up. But before I do that, I want to give a shout out to FeedSpot for listing us in the top 20 franchise podcasts you must follow in 2020. And Ray, what is our number?
As number one.
And you can't see it, folks, because you're looking at the listing, but he is putting a finger up, and it is not the middle finger. And now, for those who are listening at the site and I can see you, you can go ahead and ask questions. We'll get them on, as well as call in at 323-580-5755. That's 323-580-5755. And our lovely technical assistant, our producer, Heidi, will get your question. And now a word from a sponsor.
Hey, franchise owners. How is your local marketing? Do you feel like you could use some help keeping up with your social media posts and comments and reviews? Do you wonder if you could be doing more to attract local customers? Are you able to identify new move-ins to your local area? At Westvine, we help franchisees like you reach more local customers through digital marketing. With daily monitoring, creative content, and ad placement, and customer data intelligence, we'll get your business in front of the people who want your products or services. We also work with franchisors who need an agency to handle the digital marketing for all of their locations. If you're ready to reach more local customers, give us a call at 805-265-5440 or visit us at westvine.com. That's 805-265-5440 or Westvine with a Y.com.
And we're back. Okay, Ray, take it away.
I think our audience would be interested in knowing a little bit about Advantacare's business model and how does that operate. I mean, basically, do you have employees or do you hire subs or, you know, exactly what is it you and your husband do with Advantaclean?
Yeah, great question. So Advantaclean, in general, we're indoor air quality specialists. So we are focused on anything to do with that will inhibit the health of the indoor air quality. So our service lines include the mold remediation. We do deck cleaning. We do emergency water services, fire mitigation, crawl space clean out, odor control, those sorts of things. One of the beautiful things about AdvantiClean is as a franchisee, you do have liberty to set up how you're running your business. So some of us are different than others. Us specifically, we do have a crew. We have 9 employees. And so we're running, it's 2 teams that we run each day. Most of all of our services are done in-house. We train our techs on the emergency water services. It's our housing agent or our credential, our accrediting is ICRC. So we put our people through training so that they know what they're doing. For the duct cleaning, it's another organization called NADCA. And so our franchise is NADCA certified. So we run most in-house and we do exercise. We have referral partners that we work with. So if we need electrical work done, if we need, you know, something very specific, then we call in our subcontractors or our referral partners to help us out. We're pretty protective of our clients' homes. So when they do need other services outside of our own, we try to provide them with the resources unless they already have a company that they prefer to work with, so that the job is as controlled as we can possibly keep it.
Now, in terms of what you're doing, I'm thinking that COVID probably helped your business out. Is that, would that be an accurate assumption?
You know, COVID has been really, really interesting. It, in some ways, yes, and in other ways, no. Our emergency services have been pretty consistent with people stuck in the house. We've had extra water losses and, you know, various things like that. And you'll hear all the advertising for the sanitization cleaning. And the process for that sanitization cleaning is very similar to how we do a mold remediation. The change in protocol for that was not so substantial, and so it was very easy to get everybody trained up on that. And we have been able to do a little bit of that in our area. We were the first to shut down. And we're very slow to open. We're in technically phase 1.5 still. So there are other areas where the restoration companies are doing a ton of work with the sanitization and whatnot because more businesses are open. We still have everybody in remote. Offices are still closed down. There's still just a lot of just closures inhibiting some of that. But like I said, the emergency services have been going quite nicely. And the other thing that is very active in our area is the real estate market. Mm-hmm. Our realtors are still busy, 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 and they're not dropping off like they typically do at the start of a school year. And that produces a nice amount of work for us as well, because we help when the home gets to the point of inspection and there's issues with, we see a lot of attic mold in this area, insulation problems or crawl space problems, we can jump in and get that remediated pretty quick to get the home sold. So that's been a good line of business for us during COVID.
I love it.
I was wondering what type of... Go ahead, Fred. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, okay, I get COVID-19 not being great for business. All right, so you're in Puget Sound. You said Bellevue and then said Seattle. The pillaging and plundering's got to have been great for business.
I don't know if you want to go in that can of worm simply because there were businesses that got their hands slapped for cleaning up their graffiti and whatnot. So there's been a little bit of board up opportunity, but honestly, it's such a hotbed of mess that, yeah, no. No, some people better left just avoided. Yep. That's what we're gonna do with that.
Okay, Ray. You can. Hey, someone had to ask.
You have to walk that line, Fred.
Someone had to ask, and we know if there's a question that walks up to the line, it's going to be me that does it, don't we?
Welcome to Seattle.
I live in nuclear winter right now. What can I say? Go ahead, Ray.
It's interesting. You know, it's like my customers have a home cleaning business. They either say, no, I don't want anybody in my house, or absolutely, I've got to have someone clean my house and sanitize it, you know?
Yes.
So it's a black and white type situation.
That's absolutely what we're finding. We're finding where, you know, we have this rush of book jobs and get in and get this done and get me taken care of because I'm in my house all the time. And then it's, nope, I'm a little unsure. So one of the advantages that we have at Advanta Clean and with remediation is we have made PPE a fashion long before COVID ever hit.
There you go.
We wear respirators and full suits and gloves, that, you know, the whole gamut for our normal services.
Mm-hmm.
The nice thing that we've been able to do is there have been some, you know, some of our services, you have a pipe that just broke and we need to come in and take care of it for you. Clearly, that's not a situation that would normally call for PPE.
Mm-hmm.
However, now when our customers call and say, oh my goodness, I don't know what to do, I'm immunocompromised, but I have to have somebody in, we can put the full PPE on. We can...
Mm-hmm.
Go in, we can service the client, we can keep them safe, we can keep us safe, we can restore them back to right, and all is good. We had a family call fairly early in COVID that they were having awful allergies in their home. They had procrastinated on getting a duct cleaning done, and now they're all in the home and they were miserable, but they were really nervous about having somebody in the home. So we put full PPE on and went in and did their duct cleaning for them. And they were thrilled after. They noticed just their air quality was so much better. The allergy symptoms were down. Now they can work from home and not be miserable. And it just took us putting on our suits. So it's nice that we have that ability and can help service clients. But we've had to make sure that we're marketing that regularly to also let clients know that, hey, you know, we can do this. We can still take care of you. You do not need to put this off.
Elizabeth?
So back to the teaching, I wanted to touch back on that a minute. I taught ballet for 20 years, and at one point talked myself into a retail management job based on that. I'd never done retail because I could make six-year-olds walk diagonally across the room. So I think what's underrated about teaching is how many transferable skills there really are in terms of the comfort thing. When you're in people's homes, you know how to manage a lot of different personalities. You know how to comfort somebody in a time that they're stressed or worried. So what would you tell the other people, other maybe even teachers, because I know there's been some layoffs and things like that with COVID, the teaching world is a little bit upside down. What would you tell people about taking a risk or taking a leave or making a change if that's something they're considering?
You know, I would say absolutely. absolutely go for it. I had no idea how many skills I was using in the world. I had no idea how transferable they were. And it's been a journey. It was not, you know, oh, I need to go do this and the next day I figure it out. I mean, it's been the 2 year, so we're 2.5 years in, and it's been a 2 year plus journey on really understanding the customer service relates to when you're doing parent interaction, when you're guiding parents through those conferences and having, you know, having to work through helping them understand topics that could be quite touchy related to their children. When you've mastered that, you can guide anybody through any process. And then just understanding, like, I never considered myself a salesperson. When you say sales, the first thing I think of is the good old-fashioned used car lot thing. I'm not a salesperson. I don't want it. And to me, salesperson has always had more of a negative connotation. Like, oh, sales, you know. But understanding that it's not sales. People invest and people buy with people they trust. And so, yes, it's sales, but what is sales really? And sales is developing relationships and taking care of people. Mm-hmm. And that is what I do. I've spent years and years doing that and enjoying that and figuring out that I can do that in other areas and find it incredibly rewarding has been just...
Well, and empowering, I would think. My sister's a teacher, and she's miserable right now. And I think that part of it is because teachers are so underrated by the world around them that they tend to underrate their own skills when they want to do something else. So I think it's a great story that should empower a lot of people to be able to think outside of their own experiences, maybe.
I would absolutely agree. And I think the best thing to do is just to start doing. You know, if it's, if it's not working for you anymore, if you're laid off, if you're a teacher and struggling, because that online concept, it's not, you know, the teacher,
hard.
Yeah, and you hear the, you know, social media posts of, oh my goodness, you know, why am I paying my tax dollars? And people don't realize that these poor teachers are working way more hours than what some of your business execs work. And now they're having to try to take everything they know and transition that into a virtual when they know through their research and all of their learning that that goes against every fiber of their being. That is not the way children learn. But, oh, here's what you have to do. Mm-hmm. And teachers are multitaskers. They literally can do 8 things at once. They are jugglers. They are not just teachers. They are counselors. They are teachers. They are nurses. They are, you know, they fill so many roles. And don't count yourself short.
Wait, okay. I want to go back to this. Now we keep making a link between education and mold.
There was no mold in that part of the conversation.
Mold, water damage, basically, we keep
linking kind of mold. You're talking about mold
kind of mold.
Well, things to grow.
What does mold need to grow? Let's do it. What are the 3 things mold needs to grow?
Well, I keep coming back to mold, flooding, burning. We keep linking education to disaster is what it comes from. So
I know. Well, and we can link children to mold because they both need the same thing to grow. They need a food source. They need appropriate temperature.
And being kept in the darkness?
No, I mean, it doesn't have to be all in the dark. They just need the right temperature.
Wait a second. I just heard we need to keep children in the dark. Is that what Pillars of Franchising is? Oh, no. Don't write me. I'm not saying it, folks. I think kids should be. I always raise my. I always raise my daughter to be outside and in the light, but still, I'm hearing this strong, from what I heard, the 3 things, water, you know,
food
and darkness.
And temperature, not darkness, temperature.
I always
we
got
don't
told.
Care about darkness.
I always got told as a Boy Scout, when you got lost, you look for a tree outside, standing by itself, and you look for mold on it because it was on, and that would be the north side of the tree
moss,
because
not
moss.
Moss.
And
moss,
look
for moss,
mold, same thing.
They both start with M and have four letters.
They're both a fungus. Mushrooms are a fungus. Darkness, water, everything like that.
You look for mold on a tree. That's hilarious.
I always did. It was always green and icky. Still, we believe
clearly
in...
Clearly, Fred needs to go back to fourth grade.
Are you kidding?
I think I'll stick to the remediation. We'll stick to the hosting.
Yeah.
Hey, I do tech support for these teachers stuck in their house and doing virtual learning. So, yeah, I get the call going, Dad, bleepity bleep bleep, fix it.
Right? Help me out.
That's so funny.
I have 27 eyes staring at me and my sound is turned off. What do I do?
My daughter had a upgrade and she was in talking to the people, the tech support guy, and I think it was Target, and she said, look, I remember when it made noise to connect up to the internet, and the young gentleman said, oh, yeah, DSL was rough, and she looked at him and said, Sonny, I meant when it really made noise, going, eek! Modem, so go get me an adult to talk to.
Right.
My kids, so we're going to take time for another sponsor, and then we'll be back for more fun.
The Franchise Woman is a bi-monthly digital magazine that empowers women as they navigate the franchising industry by providing relevant news, tools, advice, and inspiration. We are a resource for women who are seeking to own their own businesses, improve their existing businesses, find creative solutions, and take advantage of franchise opportunities. We feature women in the business who best exemplify our ideals and have something to teach our readers. In addition to our exclusive articles relating to the female entrepreneur, we also feature brands that are geared for women. Women have become the fastest growing sector in business ownership and have become a powerful, influenceable force fueling the economy. The Franchise Woman will give you the news that is relevant to you to help you navigate the path of successful franchise ownership. By women, for women, and about women. We are the Franchise Woman. Join us today at www.thefranchisewoman.com.
And a brief note, Virtual Caffeinated Connections is on Tuesday mornings, 7:30 a.m. to 8:45 Pacific time. Last week, we had people from coast to coast attend. Actually, this week, I should say, we had people coast to coast attend, and that was on a Tuesday after a Labor Day. Who knew people like to discuss the question of the day and meet new people? CaffeinatedConnections.com. Show up. It's interesting. And we're back. So, Ray, Elizabeth, who wants to take the next question?
I want to ask a Fred question. I know some franchises owners that are remediation franchises, and I was always curious, and I never asked them, so I'm going to ask you, what is your marketing target? How do you target your marketing to, you know, emergency services?
Service side, we like to work with property managers, HOA boards, and then because in general, our client can be anybody that's a homeowner. Mm-hmm. So that can be pretty broad. Right. So with those emergency services, then we need to really look at who's going to be getting several of them. And so, you know, housing authority places, the larger property managers that do larger apartment complexes on right down to the smaller property managers. Those tend to be pretty good referral partners for us and help them come in. Our phone actually rang at about 4:30 this morning from one of those relationships with a fire that just happened. So my crew's on a fire mitigation site right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to.
Yeah. You mentioned it. Yeah, it's a housing facility, you know, kind of like a halfway house kind of thing. And so again, that's where it gets back to it feels right and it feels good knowing that we can go in and we can get this particular organization cleaned up and set back on their way so that they can continue working with their clients and following their mission of helping people get back on their feet. So it's near and dear work.
And with insurance companies, you market insurance companies probably as well.
Absolutely. So the industry has TPAs, third-party administrators.
Mm.
When you have a loss and you pull out your card and you see the 1-800 number on the back, that goes to a third-party administrator. And so you can be on, there's several of them out there that offer this service. And so you can be on that service and then you're in a rotation. And as they come, it happens pretty quick. They call, they say, can you go? You say yes, you accept the job, you go. If you miss the phone call, they go to the next person and they keep going down the line until they get somebody. And that can be very helpful. We do have some TPAs that we actively participate on. And that also helps with that because there's not too many people that actually call their insurance agent anymore when they have an emergency. Most people are calling the 1-800 number.
Oh, so,
yeah. Yeah, I certainly do some marketing to insurance agents and develop some relationships there. But it's not quite, you know, most people aren't calling them directly. They get a few, but most people are calling the claims.
Mm-hmm.
So to your near and dear point, do you have any kind of training that you do for your crews?
Oh, absolutely.
For that kind of thing? I mean, clearly they have to know the technical things, but what about the relationship and that kind of emotional level?
Absolutely. That's part of where I come in. So we do regular trainings with our crew. They have daily meetings before they head out to any job site where we review what's happening and what's going on. And we'll talk about the emotional pieces as well as the technical pieces of, okay, you guys are heading on to site. This is what the client has been through. This is what I want you to be mindful of. These are the issues that they express concern to us. So if they bring them up, or if you can just interject of, hey, I know you're very concerned about great aunt twice removed hutch that's been handed down to you. I am going to be very, very careful. This is what I'm going to do, you know, those kinds of things. So we do regular trainings and meetings and whatnot. So anytime we're working with our technical training, we're always talking about the emotional and the customer service piece as well.
Ray, you got a question, my friend?
Actually, I was so intrigued with the answer, I didn't think about another question, but one of the things...
He was doing his listening skills.
Yeah.
Well, I'm guessing, Ray, when you have your clients going into homes, it's probably pretty similar in that... You
yeah.
know, you're going into, just like us, you're going into people's homes.
Mm-hmm.
And so your people need to, you know, have that same mindset of this is their sacred space and you need to be respectful. And you also need to realize that, you know, if you look at it and say it's a target item, you've already made a mistake. Because
yeah.
you need to look at something with the value of how they perceive it, not how you perceive it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that my wife and I started our business 17 years ago, She stayed out of it because it was a struggle to get it going, and she actually was funding the business through her employment for a good while, and she never said she wanted. As a matter of fact, she said she didn't want to be part of the business, but then things changed, and she left her job, and she tried to find another job, but couldn't right away. And I said, well, why don't you just join the business? She says, no, I don't have the skills that are needed. I'm not a manager. I'm not a leader. What was really amazing, and I haven't talked about this on the show for a long time, but what I thought was really amazing is when she came on board that first day, and she just took over like she was doing it for years and years and years, and even though she claimed she couldn't. And I was very proud of her, you know, the way she started her leadership skills. She was a teacher as well by training.
Gotta love the teachers.
Yeah. And she just, like I said, she just took over. So it's a wonderful thing to see people, you know, blossom. And one of the things I've learned in my business is people have skills they don't know about. And I like to find those skills and try to cultivate them. And it's worked well for cultivating my managers and trying to get them to blossom, so to speak.
I would absolutely agree with that. And, you know, it sounds like my journey is probably very similar to what your wife had experienced. Just because you don't necessarily, you know, you kind of get stuck in your ways, and mm-hmm. you know, I'm old enough to know that, you know, teaching an old dog new tricks can be a little challenging, and mm-hmm. you know, so you get set in your ways, and then you, as you start going through the journey, you do start realizing that I have transferable skills. These things work. I can do this, and it's very eye-opening.
Mm-hmm.
It's rewarding. It definitely, you know, when you get pushed out of your comfort zone, you're very uncomfortable. There have been some adventures along the way in the last 2.5 years where I've called it my Alzheimer's prevention plan. I think it's been very good. You know, I've had to brush off a few brain cells that haven't been used in a while, and had to discover new parts of my brain that may not have been used. But it's been a really good journey. And then sharing that with my husband, because we do have the benefit of working really well together.
Mm-hmm.
And we both figured out pretty early on, you know, if somebody was tapped out and done, you call uncle, right? And you can say, okay, I'm done. We're not talking business. We're home. I'm done. But if somebody else is, you know, at maybe though it's 8 o'clock and we both get on this creative juju where we're like, what about this and what about that? And, you know, solving all the world problems. And so it just, we've been able to balance each other very nicely. And like I said, he's a visionary. He does a really good job of just kind of saying, okay, this is what I see and I want to go this direction. And I am your quintessential middle manager. I can line up all the ducks, I can get them in a row, and I can get them marching like none other. And so, you know, so it balances really well, which has been nice, because I know
that's good. Yeah.
Not all couples can say that, and so and I get that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you're very lucky that you have that kind of relationship. And as we're winding down our hour, what are the goals that the two of you have with his vision and your ability to make it happen? What kind of long-term goals do you guys have?
We're looking to grow. We want to just expand our presence in this market. And this is a bucket list item. And so he wants to just keep creating, and it's business number one. And his long-term goal would be a portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, learn from this, understand from this, get this thing where we're just, you know, a well-oiled machine, and then let's see what number two is.
That's good.
Yeah, that's excellent. Yeah, yeah. Dreaming.
Mm-hmm. Good for y'all. I like that.
Yeah.
Fred, are you about to take us somewhere?
And down the rabbit hole we go.
Oh, gosh.
So, without giving away any franchisor trade secrets, what do you believe the next generation of weapons against mold will need to be when, because of the nuclear winter we are in, which is probably caused by space aliens, when it makes mold intelligent so that mold can fight back?
I don't even know what to do with you, Fred. mold is going to require some sort of weapon of mass destruction because it likes to repopulate like none other. So it's going to need some sort of really cool zap machine that, I don't know. I'm picturing some Star Trek shooter thing where you come in and you can shut the mold down and not allow it to grow into any kind of intellect. But you will have to be faster because of the rate at which it reproduces. That's what I'm thinking.
Okay. So, Ray, you want to ask the last question and take us home?
I would love to. So, if someone is interested in talking to you about AdvantiClean and your franchise experience and your goals and, you know, things like that, or maybe they have an emergency, how can they contact you?
Easy. So our website is www.advanticlean.com, and that will work across the nation. When you log into that, it will redirect you to the perfect AdvantiClean for your area. And if you are interested in talking, I can give you a phone number if you want for directly reaching me. I don't mind putting my cell phone number out there. It is area code 425-419-6525. I'd be happy to chat with anybody if they're interested in AdvantiClean, questions on newly franchising, any spouses out there that might want some support, or, you know, just say, hey, how did you figure out your role in the company? I'm always happy to chat.
Excellent. And, of course, all that information will be on the
Pillars of Franchising website. Yes. What, as
oh,
always,
thank you so much.
Go ahead, take us out.
Yeah, thank you so much, Lynn, for being our guest today. We really appreciate it. You've been wonderful.
Thanks for having me. It's been fun.
And thanks to my co-hosts, Ray and Elizabeth. We'll be back next week with another interesting guest on
Pillars of Franchising.